John 14. I really want to read this entire I'm gonna read this as much. Well, we'll see here. John 14, starting in verse 1. Because we know this is that fateful week before Jesus is going to be crucified. And I think Jesus knows that, that obviously he understands what's ahead. He understands the difficulty, the trouble, but he also understands just the incredible burden this will place on the disciples, that this will produce an enormous amount of anxiety in their life. Can you imagine walking with Jesus? And we know how the story ends, but not knowing and not quite picking up on all the specifics of what Jesus says. He dropped lots of breadcrumbs that he would, you know, he would die and be raised again, but they weren't really picking up on it, the disciples. And so can you imagine being there and not understanding what's going to happen specifically, not knowing how this is going to go down, and then seeing Jesus just be arrested, taken off, beaten, and then taken to the cross. Can you imagine showing up there at the cross? Talk about traumatized. You'd be like, oh my gosh, he's done nothing wrong. This is so unfair, so wrong. And I mean, the anger, the frustration, the tension, the desire to want to go to war, to want to hurt somebody, to want to kill someone. I mean, to want to protest. I mean, I don't know what that would do you, but you know, we're just going to march in the streets. He's being wrong, Jesus, he is. It'd be so much frustration and anxiousness. I mean, I'd want to have a heart. I'd probably have a heart attack. And so Jesus knows what's ahead. He knows what he's going to go through, but Jesus knows how it's going to end for him. Okay? But he goes, they don't know. And so this is what he says to them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Again, you know, the questions are incredible, right? The comments. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will recognize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever keeps my commands, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. And here's the beauty of you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And I give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He says it twice. He starts with it and he ends with it. But he says something beautiful. He says, I give you my peace. The gift of peace. You know, Jesus' peace is different than another peace. Point number one, understanding his peace. Understanding Jesus' peace. His peace is so different than worldly peace. Worldly peace often depends on what? External circumstances. Sort of even a lack of conflict, right? Quietness. Or maybe even material comfort. You know, I just want to be at peace. And sometimes that can mean I just want to have all my bills paid. You know what I mean? And I don't want the bill collector coming after me or anything like that. I just want to be at peace. Peace can mean I just want to get to the point where I don't have to work anymore. Everything will be peaceful. And retired people out there can say that's a lie. You know, you know what I mean? If, you know, I just want to get to the point where my kids are, they're all launched, okay? And then I'll be so much more at peace. I just want to get that. I just want to have that. I just want to be here. I just need this person to be gone out of my life. If I could just get a new boss, everything would be peaceful. Get a new job, everything would be better. But that's worldly peace, right? Because it's circumstantial. But Jesus is peace. Is different. His peace is an inner calm. It's an assurance, and it's rooted in our relationship with him. It's a gift. It's not earned. Jesus says, I give it to you. You don't have to earn it, right? You know, even in my study of peace this week, I said, I'm gonna study peace out because I gotta go get some peace, you know? Hey, peace is a gift, Vince. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It's a gift from God. My peace I give you. He gives it to us. Jesus spoke these words the night he was betrayed. The night he was betrayed, he spoke the words, do not be troubled. I'm going to give you my peace. You know, there's a lot of things that go on in life. There's a lot of things that happen to me, a lot of things that happen to all of us. The question is can we be at peace with Jesus no matter what's going on in life? No matter what betrayal lies ahead, what betrayal is with us or behind us, can we be people that are at peace? I tell you, this peace, it only comes from Jesus. Him alone. Point number two, overcoming fear and anxiety. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The heart representing the seat of emotions, of course. Jesus knows that our hearts are so tempted with fear and so tempted with anxiety. You know, the studies say that as much as 19% of Americans are struggling with anxiety. Struggling with anxiety. Sometimes that anxiety, it's sort of circumstantial or temporary, but sometimes there's chronic anxiety as well. But we're all struggling with some level of anxiety. You know, we were on vacation last week, and we were getting ready to go home, and I could just sense the energy. And the family wasn't quite, I don't know if they weren't ready to go home for vacation. I don't know what was going on. Maybe there was a bathroom thing going on again. But just there was just a lot of heat, you know, a lot of angst. And I could tell, you know, when everybody's walking around quiet and just doing stuff, you know, just kind of they're moving, you know, and they're not really, you know, I could just go, something ain't right here. Something's wrong. And I'm about to get in the car. We're going to drive 4 hours together. And I want a peaceful drive home. So we're going to have a little devotional on peace. So we sat down. We had a little devotional. At the end of it, I said, we're going to take a deep breath together, all of us. Studies show that if you take in a deep breath and you, through your nose, and you let it out through your nose longer than you inhaled it, your brain will tell your body, it's okay. Good. So I said, let's take a deep breath. This is how I know we had a problem. Nobody took a deep breath. Nobody. Not even the most righteous person in our family, which is my wife. They were like, I said, I think you're holding your breath now. You're cutting off oxygen to your brain, you know? I said, we're going to take a deep breath. So I modeled it for him. I went, let's do it. They all went. I said, come on. And then I said, then I turned into Vince a little bit. I said, we're not leaving until you do it. That's Vince, you know. He's trying to be at peace, and I said, we're not going anywhere till we get this done. And they were like, then they went. We're running late to leave. We're supposed to leave at a certain time. Finally, it took about 7 tries. These people can be stubborn sometimes. Attitude reflects leadership. They're stubborn like me, amen. My wife led the way. She took a deep breath. And all the girls took a deep breath. We said a prayer. We got in the car and went home. And it was a good trip. Okay, home. But anxiety and fear constantly are dominating our life. Sometimes it's good to stop and go, what is it that I'm afraid of? What am I feeling afraid of right now? What am I worried about? What am I anxious about? It's a good question to ask. I know that young moms are constantly worried. You're worried constantly, like, you know, you're frantic, you're frustrated. I mean, like, my kids, I mean, you know, is everything going to be okay? Are they going to, I mean, they're just born and you've got their college planned out. I'm like, yeah, it's just taking a day at a time. They'll be there soon, you know? But they're just a little anxious and worried. Grandparents are sometimes a little anxious and worried. In fact, you know, even parents of adult children are anxious and worried. Anxious and worried about their adult children. It just kind of never stops, right? Fear. Are they going to be okay? When my daughter, my grown daughter, calls me, every time she calls me, I take a deep breath. I'm like, okay, what's up now? You know what I mean? And when she goes, hey, Dad, I'm going, everything's good. But Jesus says, I will protect you. Don't be troubled. Let me help you overcome that fear. Overcome that anxiety. You know, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 encourages us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do we overcome our fear and our anxiousness? We got to pray about it. We got to pray a lot more. We've got to meditate on more scripture. So here's a practice for you. There's something called breath prayers. You ever heard of this term before? Breath prayer is good. I went all the way to college to learn about breath prayers. Figured out this, you know, you breathe in and you let out a prayer, a short prayer. God be with me. Oh, God help me. Just a breath prayer. It's called a breath prayer. I thought, oh, I remember my grandmother doing that. Lord Jesus, help me. That was a breath prayer. Sometimes she says some other stuff that wasn't Christian, but that was a breath prayer. Anybody else's grandmother taught them how to cuss? My grandmother could cuss. My mother never talked that way. My grandmother was something, man. Anyway, don't get off topic. Stay with peace, amen. So I want to encourage you to add breath prayers to your daily life. Help you overcome anxiety. It's one thing to take in those deep breaths. It's another just pray. Amen. Whatever's going on, something comes on the news, some trouble, anything happens, just God help me. God help us all. Lord, you are in control. And add scripture to it either. You know what? You can even take in a deep breath and let out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You could pray those kind of prayers. You could put scripture, but prayer and meditation on scripture. This is how we're going to overcome the fear and anxiety. And I'm telling you, there's fear and anxiety everywhere. You turn on the news, it's almost fear is a motivator. Fear is one of the greatest motivators. It really is. It's one of the greatest motivators. Okay? If I yelled out right now certain things, you know, like there's a fire, you know, some of you would probably be like, oh, Vince is kidding. But man, I mean, fear would motivate, you would start moving. Yeah. Say, hey, as we're going to go outside, like, oh gosh, where are we going? Say, there's a fire in the building. Boom, you're like, man, you'd be motivated to move, right? Yeah. And so you got to realize that Satan is constantly after us, trying to get us to be fearful. Yeah. It is what he does. He's using you. He's using others. He's using everything to create fear and anxiety constantly. Because when he creates fear in us, our hearts are troubled. We're so troubled then. And so we've got to pray. And we've got to meditate on scripture. Amen? Amen. And point number three, living in his peace daily. Embracing Jesus' peace, it really is sort of daily surrender. Each day, I've got to choose to surrender my worries and to surrender my fears to Jesus. This involves starting the day with prayer and scripture. I know some of us, we think we're pretty tough, right? Like, oh, I don't worry about anything. I just let it all roll off my back. You know what I mean? Nothing's a big deal to me. I never sweat the small stuff. I read that book, you know? But I'm telling you, things come up regularly and they catch you off guard without a steady diet of God's word and prayer. You will not be able to. And it will come out of nowhere. You'll just be going along smoothly. And then someone will walk up and start a conversation with you and just try to terrorize you a little bit. I got a phone call the other day from someone who I love dearly, a good friend of mine. And he goes, did you hear about this? And as soon as he said, I went, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened now? You know, it's going, you know, I had to stop letting everything sort of get me worked up. And he was going on and on and telling me everything. And I didn't want to cut him off. I didn't want to be rude. But I'm sitting there going, you're disturbing my peace, dude. You know what I mean? You're really disturbing my peace. But also, it's a good practice for me. Are you going to let this disturb your peace? So I heard him out. I listened to him. And I said, you know, God's going to take care of that. God's going to work that out somehow. I don't know how it's going to get done, but it's going to get worked out. But man, I just can't fret over that right now. Amen. I can't be fretful over that right now. I've got to let that go, okay? I don't know how it's going to turn out, and I hope it doesn't, burying your head in the sand. Like, I'm not trying to bury my head in the sand. I just can't worry about everything going on around our fellowship. I can't do that, okay? Sometimes people, you come to me and go, "Hey, bro, you hear about this happening in this church?" I'm going, "No, I really don't want to hear about it. I got enough going on right here, okay?" I can't deal with everything going on everywhere, amen? Between here and the Heartland region, my cup overfloweth, amen? And then I got the household that I'm dealing with as well, amen? Breathe, Vince. But it requires daily surrender. Daily, starting your day with prayer, committing our plans to Him, asking for His peace every morning. Well, if you start off in the morning and you say, "God, here are my plans, but I want to commit them to You, and I need Your peace to get throughout the day, Lord. Please help me." The other thing is mindfulness and self-awareness. This word mindfulness is kind of become the term now, okay? But I mean, being mindful of God's presence that's with you every day. Really walking around going, "Man, God, You are with me," and acknowledging that He's with you every step of the way. "Thank You, God, for being with me. Thank You, God, for allowing me to do life with You. Thank You, God, for going in front of me, being with me, and going behind me as well." But just constantly being aware that God is with you, that Jesus walks still with me every day. And then, of course, we need each other as well. I know that's a little bit sort of maybe can be a little bit controversial, because you're going to go, "But honestly, some people in the church, actually, they break my peace." Amen. But we need each other. Okay. We need each other desperately. We can help one another break through those moments. That brother who called me had some stuff going on, and he needed to get it off his chest. And he needed me to be able to say in that moment. Now, usually he's the person that's providing me with all of the help. You know, he's actually a therapist. So he's usually providing me with a ton of help. Okay, but I was just like, "Hey, maybe this is my turn to help him." And he goes, "I got to go. I can't talk to you now." I'm like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And I was able to say, "You know what, bro? We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay." Amen. It's 1 in 10 times that I provided him support and he didn't provide me support. Usually I'm calling him going, "Dude, I'm in a mess, okay?" I get free counseling that way, amen? Let's remember that Jesus' peace is a gift. It's a gift that passes all understanding. It doesn't depend on our circumstances, but it's rooted in His unchanging character. Jesus is peace, and He gives us peace. Amen? Amen. So we're going to take communion here in a second, but I got 4 questions up here. I only want you to talk about one of them in our discussion here. You can talk about the other 3 maybe in your small groups this week. But 4 questions to consider. What does Jesus' promise of peace mean to you personally? How have you experienced Jesus' peace during challenging circumstances? What practical steps can you take this week to embrace and live in His peace? And who can you share the gift of peace with this week? So we're going to take about 4 minutes. You can talk to someone next to you, behind you, across from you. Hopefully not someone you drove here with, okay? Or someone you know close to you. And you can tackle any one of these questions in just a few minutes. I'll come back and we'll pray for the communion. Amen.